This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the Bing Crosby Show, franchise from Hollywood.
Moonlight becomes you. It goes with your hand. You certainly know the right thing to wear.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I did a song in a picture called Dr. Ritter many years ago. But you had Dee Lilly, Mary Carlisle, Andy Devine, other people. It's got a cute little song. I think it's called My Heart Has Taken Lessons.
My heart has taken lessons. Yes, it's learning how to sing. Every morning, la, 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 poor thing. My heart has taken lessons. So conscientiously, every morning, la, 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 it amazes me. And oh, how hard it labors to try to make the grave. It may annoy the neighbors, practicing up on a serenade. My heart is taking lessons, and I've noticed too, it began to la 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 when I looked at you.
Well, the Hollywoodlands are still echoing, simmering, re-echoing with the reverberations of this highly successful Oscar presentation show, which was held a few days ago at the Pantages Theater out here in Hollywood. From all points of view, I think it was the most impressive production. As I've mentioned before, Hope was never in better form in his highly questionable life. From his opening sally, when he said, "Welcome to You Bet Your Career," and the secret word for the night is "Chuck," to his closing jive, "Now there's nothing left for sniveling," he was brilliant. He was amusing, personable, and at length achieved the stature for which I have so long been grooming him. I guess one of the biggest laughs of the whole evening, though, was provided by Dmitri Tiomkin, who won the award for the best musical scoring of a picture. He thanked Brahms, Bach, Beethoven, Wagner, Mozart, the Strauss's junior and senior, Stravinsky, Prokofiev, and several score more of the classic greats for their help. And he walked off and forgot his Oscar. I was catching dragging back. Hope got a real big yak when he said that while the winners would get Oscars, the losers weren't going to be overlooked because they would be awarded do-it-yourself suicide kits. Regarding all the recent big prizes which have been paid for stories such as the Goldwyn's buy of Guys and Dolls for $1 million and some of the other big prizes that have been paid for books and plays, Hope reported that Howard Hughes had bought the Alta papers. But now that Howard's only problem was trying to figure out which three parts Jane Russell was going to play. Then when he was commenting on the deep secrecy which attends to voting and the tabulation of the ballots, Hope described how Price Waterhouse Incorporated counts the votes. The winners are then typed out on the special cards by a secretary. The envelopes are sealed and the secretary is taken out and shot. When I saw this kid up there working in such fine form, I should have, if I'd been smart, I would have eschewed an appearance on the podium with him, but I was committed, of course, and I was a victim of some of his sharpest plans, you can be sure. I'm not going to repeat him here. It made me look pretty bad. But as I said before, he was terrific. He did a wonderful job. I don't know anybody else in our business who could hold such a big show like that together and keep it rolling. You know, with the interpolation which is necessary, of course, of the commercials and so much statistical data when this whole thing drops. Just to pick it up again. And in spite of these interruptions, really it never seemed to lag. I really think the whole thing represented Hollywood at its best. People looked well, they behaved well, and the awards, to my way of thinking, seemed eminently justified. I guess, I hope anyhow, that the function represented a smashing rebuttal to those captious critics throughout the country who needled Hollywood for the presentation last month of the announcement of the nomination. Some thought that the show was dull and stuffy and not entertaining. Well, the Academy Awards must have convinced them that Hollywood, when they really level, can put on an entertaining, amusing, and an interesting show. But if you get back to Hope, I guess I'll always be getting back to him for the balance of my professional life. He's a pretty good old boy. Basically, I mean. To quote a Hungarian proverb, if you got Bob Hope for a friend, you don't need an enemy. Oh, no, I'm kidding about that. Seriously, there's something that becomes more apparent to me all the time as I go along. It seems as a fella gets a little older, he gets mellower. Of course, I'm referring to myself. Hope I don't get ripe before I get mellow. But anyhow, it becomes increasingly difficult for me to engage, to awaken these old antipathies and these old discriminations, which, of course, between he and I were always synthetic anyhow. They were just contrived for entertainment, using the pictures on the radio and so forth. But these old barbs I used to fling at Bob, they come lately to rankle and sour on the terms. They lost their zest and their pungency. Now, I would just like tonight, with your forbearance, to take one moment here to pay a very sincere tribute to this man, Mr. Bob Hope. I think, honestly, in the whole history of show business, there's never been anyone who has done so much all by himself to advance the cause of good public relations. You know, this fellow has flown from one end of the world to the other to entertain, to raise money, to stimulate with his presence and his talent the good cause of charity. I would say that while pursuing these worthwhile activities, he's compiled such prodigious mileage as to make John Foster Dulles look like an insular recluse. I don't ever recall hearing of him turning down any request to go anywhere, to do anything, unless it was physically impossible for him to exceed. Lord, when he gets that vast store of energy baffles me. This kid's no chicken, you know. He's got quite a few years on him. I know he's as old as I am, but he never seems to tire, never. I think he must have a nuclear reactor in his acidity bag. Positively incredible, really it is, the things that he does every day and he's been doing for years and is continuing to do. And I certainly think that humanity and surely this business, and certainly me, I think we all owe Bob a tremendous debt. And I bow tonight. I bow in tribute to Bob Hope. I may just wire him a great big bunch of posies for Easter. Say, Ken, where do you think we might find him now? Where is he likely to be? Malibu or North Pole or Anchorage or Greenland or Iceland?
I think he's in the Belgian Congo.
Oh, well, I'll send a bunch of posies under the Belgian Congo. Yeah, just in care of White Hunter, huh?
That's all.
White Hunter, Black Hunter. I'll do that. Now, here's a song, folks, that will recall to you. The good old days when Hope and I used to cut one another up a little.
We're off on the road to Morocco. This camel is tough on the spine.
For the band goes down.
Where they're going, why we're going, how can we be sure? I'll lay you rates to find that we'll meet Zara soon.
Yeah, get in line.
Off on the road to Morocco. Hang on till the end of the line.
Like your jacket,
my sight in this country where they do the dance of the seven veils.
We tell you more. We would have the spencer on our tail.
Before we certainly do get around. Like Webster's dictionary, we're Morocco bound. We're off on the road to Morocco.
Well, look out,
we're cleared away from
here.
The many fires sleep on nails and saw their wives and hats. It seems to me there should be easier ways to get around.
I slip my big shoes out.
Off on the road to Morocco.
Hooray!
Everybody's got to have the green light.
Come on, boys.
We may run into villains, but we're not afraid to roam. Because we read the story and we end up safe at home.
Yeah,
certainly do get around. Like Webster's dictionary, we're Morocco bound.
suddenly do get around.
Like a complete set of Shakespeare that you get in the corner drugstore for $1.98.
We're Morocco bound.
Or like a volume of Omar Khayyam that you buy at a department store at Christmas time for your cousin Julia.
We're Morocco bound.
To conclude tonight's little gathering, here's the song, the Western flavor, called Farewell, and from the Walt Disney picture, Baby Shortcut. Friends, I'd just like to remind you that it's up to every one of us to help all we can in the all-important battle against cancer. Just remember, cancer can strike anyone. Why don't you strike back today by giving generously to your unit of the American Cancer Society? Mail your contribution to cancer, care of your local post office. Good night, and thank you.
Be sure to hear Bing Crosby again tomorrow night, Transcribed from Hollywood.
Time are running out for taxpayers. Yes, April 15th is the deadline for filing your 1954 federal income tax return. And if you haven't done yours yet, here's a suggestion. Just pick up your telephone and call the local field office of the Internal Revenue Bureau. The man who answers is ready to help you with all of your tax problems. And remember this, please. When you mail in your return, be sure to sign your name. For top reporting first, here's the news on the CBS Radio Network. Stay tuned for the Amazon.